And in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 1, the Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea court called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So we were first. You Southerners have nothing on us. So just kidding. I am just kidding. We're going to be reading out of John chapter number 15. And I will say that this is not a typical missions message. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I brought some messages dealing with missions, dealing with faith promise, talking about what faith promise is and how it came to start and all that. But I think that this message here is just as important. It is just as important. Before we begin reading in John chapter 15, I just want to share a little bit more of my testimony. I shared a little bit about how God saved us when I was in the Philippine Islands in the military. I had a missionary come by my house because my wife had visited the church and led me to Christ. And we served the Lord faithfully for a number of years. And when I went to Bible college, you know, you would think that that is the most exciting place to be. You're hearing good preaching every day. But you have to be very, very careful in Bible college. Because sometimes what we do is our Bible becomes our textbook instead of a place that we go to get nourishment and from the Word of God and cleansing and just strength and growth. And, you know, it can be discouraging. Bible college isn't always easy, especially if you have a family. My wife and I and four little ones, two were in diapers when we got to Bible college. And so it was a challenging, and I'll be honest with you, in Bible college, I got very discouraged. I was sick, spent about a whole month in the hospital. Our finances, of course, when you're a Bible college student, we were very poor, and it was very challenging. And I know looking back now that God was trying to stop me in my tracks and get me to start looking back up towards Him. And so when trials come into our lives, they do one of two things. They either draw you closer to the Lord, or they push you away from the Lord. That's up to you. You know, we can blame everybody else and everything else for the situations that we're going through, but ultimately our relationship with the Lord falls on us, right? And so I ended up being very discouraged and found everything I could find wrong with what was going on in my life. And so we left Bible college and we went back to Missouri, to my wife's hometown, and I just got really busy. Just working as much as I could, trying to make up for lost time, and feeling that way. I was making up for lost time, but I wasn't. And so, you know, we were in church, but we weren't very, very faithful. And I could say that I wasn't walking with the Lord the way I should have been walking with the Lord. And thankfully, a good friend of mine, I shared the gospel with him. He's a missionary also. And so he knew that I wasn't really serving the Lord like I had used to. So he came by to visit me, and I went with him to preach. He said, hey, why don't your wife, my wife, and the kids, you guys, let them go to church in town. We've got an hour and a half ride away. You and I will go. And on the way up there, he's reminding me of all the things that the Lord had done in our past as friends. We worked together. We were both in the military, people that we got to see come to Christ. And all the way up, he's reminding me of these things that, you know, he's doing it in a very nice way. And then he got up to preach, and I know what he did. He shared his testimony on how he was ready to get divorced and also on his way to getting kicked out of the Air Force. And he went on and he shared that, and then he began to weep and said, but I had witnessed to him. And God got a hold of my heart, and he broke my heart that day. And I went forward, and I said, Lord, what in the world am I doing? You know, Lord, you've had your hand on me in times past, and here I am doing nothing really to serve you. And I rededicated my life to the Lord. And after I did that, I asked myself a question: what happened? Right? How did I go from being up here on the mountaintop when I got into Bible college to being down deep in the valley? How did that happen? It didn't happen, you know, one day you're on the mountaintop, the next day you're down in the pit. It doesn't happen that way. And so I began reading through the New Testament asking that question, Lord, what happened? And I got to John chapter 15, and God showed me here in John chapter 15 what had happened to me. So let's go ahead and read together. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Jesus speaking here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come before you today, Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, for what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, in this church and many churches throughout our country, Lord, is fulfilling the Great Commission. And Father in heaven, I know as we are looking at your word this week and as we are praying about things, I know it's many people's hearts, Lord, to not only be able to do more to send missions around this world, but Father in heaven, to be more faithful in our missions around here where we live, Lord. So I pray today, Father in heaven, as we look at your word, that you would put all things out of our hearts and our minds that would keep us from being able to receive what you have for us today. I pray, Father in heaven, that you would allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, just to point out in these areas in our life that we need to make better, Father in heaven, that we would be pleasing to you in all that we do and say. So, Father, be with me as I preach your word today, and I pray, Father in heaven, you'd be with each and every person. Lord, I don't know each person's heart, but I know you do, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each heart accordingly. And, Father, for what you do today, we'll be sure to thank and praise you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a word that is used 9 times in these 11 verses here in this chapter, in these first 11 verses. And if you recognize it, it's the word abide. Abide. In today's English, the word abide is a synonym of the word remain. But you know, our English language has changed over time. As you know, a lot of the words that we see and we read have even sometimes a deeper meaning in older English here. And I believe abide is one of those words. An example, of course, of this would be conversation. Let your conversation be without. Conversation is more than just the words that we speak. Conversation is your whole manner of lifestyle. And this word abide also is this way. This word abide is a very deep word, and it means, as I said, it's much deeper than just remain. You know, there's a lot of people that remain married, but they don't abide with each other. You understand? Abiding is much more. It's a day in and day out relationship that you work at to try to make better and better and better. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. If you will abide in me, if you will stay with me, If you will continue to love me, if you will continue to seek me, and then I will bless you. And that's what it's talking about. And you know, I was sharing this a little bit in Sunday school class, but in the Sunday school class today. And you know, as Christians, we know how to do a lot of things, especially if you've been a Christian for years and years and years. Things could come natural, right? You know, I don't many Sunday mornings get up, and the first thing on my mind is, what is God going to do today? You know, we don't always think that way, right? We just get up in the morning, and it's Sunday morning, and we just go through our routine, and we come to church, and we do those things. And that's good. I'm not knocking anybody for that, but that's what we do as Christians. And you've been saved for a long period of time, raising a Christian home. You know how to do certain things to serve the Lord. You could do it with your eyes closed. You don't necessarily have to pray and ask God, you know, how do I do this today, Lord? Because you've done it so often. Abiding is deeper than that. It's deeper than that. A.W. Tozer said this about some of the hymns that we sing, and I love that song. I love that song this morning. You know, how often do we pray that? But A.W. Tozer said one time, he said, singing hymns when our hearts are away from the Lord, we might as well sometimes sing Mother Goose nursery rhymes. I mean, put it that way. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but, you know, really we're singing some songs sometimes. Lord, I'll go anywhere. Lord, I'll do anything. But our hearts really aren't willing to do that. The word abide means to dwell together, to have constant communion, to continue faithfully in place, and to wait in expectation. Although it may not sound as normal to say it today this way, we could say that in a very good marriage, couples abide together more than they do by just remaining together. But sadly, we know there are a lot of couples that remain together, and they've lost much of their joy, their excitement, and the expectations that a good and a happy marriage will bring. Couples can go through the motions because they know how and what to do, but there's really not the joy that they once had in their marriage. And I think that what is also sad is many times as Christians, we fall into that rut in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the rut that I fell into back in the days when I was in Bible college. I fell into that very same rut. And it affects our perception of things, of how they really are. We begin to look outward rather than inward, right? It's our love for the Lord. That's why over and over and over again he talks about to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, right? Because sometimes our love wanes, right? Our love isn't what it always should be. You know, I know that missionaries, when we're called to the field, God gives us a love for the people that we're going there to minister, but that's not always the case. That is not always the case, especially after you're there for a little while and you realize just how different they are and just, you know, they're just as wicked as anybody else and evil as anybody else, and in some ways even more so. Right, they are. I remember one time when we were in, we went to bring some of our men. They were having a men's meeting, a men's conference, and we had to go to the capital city of the province that we were in, and so we went down there and we took some of our men and the men that we were training for the ministry, and it was a good conference. Don't get me wrong. It was really a good conference, and one of the men who put on the conference, is he was preaching, one of the things he was saying to the men, he said, you know, how is it that you don't even love your own people enough to preach and to teach and to witness and so forth? And, you know, I listened to it. I understood where he was coming from. I understood that. And so afterwards, I went to the man that we were training for the pastorate, and I went up to him, and I said, hey, brother, what did you think of that message, you know? And he said, well, Brother Dom, he said, you know, it was a good message. I understand that. He said, but he said, it's not easy to love our own people. He said, our own people aren't the same. He said, sometimes it's very difficult to love your own people. He said, but we do this because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we do as missionaries, and that's what, you know, we should do as even as people that aren't called to the mission field. We have to abide in Christ, right? When we abide in Christ and we love the Lord the way we should love the Lord, then things will come naturally. Things will come naturally. And so I want to share with you a few things that will happen when we properly abide in Christ. Okay. First of all, we will be in a constant state of growth. When you're abiding in Christ, you will continually grow in your faith. I believe it's a dangerous position to be in spiritually to think that we have arrived in our Christian walk. Even the Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life on this earth, said, "For I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." But in order to continue to grow, first of all, we have to spend time with the Master. In verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, that's not really a deep or a hidden message. It's not unattainable to answer. It's very simple. We have to spend time with God daily in prayer and in Bible study, in church, and in fellowship with other Christians. We have to be more faithful. We can't take that very lightly. We've got to get serious about our relationship with the Lord. As I said, I was in the ultimate environment when I was in Bible college. I mean, you would think, how can anybody get backslidden in the middle of Bible college? But it can happen. We've got to be very, very careful. You have to be careful not to substitute a work for your relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Secondly, and this isn't always easy, is we have to be willing to endure purging, right? We have to be willing to endure purging. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit, right? Now, I'm not a farmer, not at all. I'm Italian, so I have fig trees, right? So, and we have some other trees, and I'm realizing you have to purge them sometimes, right? You have to cut away the bad of the dead branches, and you have to, just to make the plant more healthy, right? That's what we have to do. And so when I go out there, and we go out there and we prune and we purge, I never heard one of my trees say, wait a minute, no, this is going to hurt. Don't do it, right? The trees don't do that. They might if they could, but they don't, right? But with us, it's different, right? As we are growing in our relationship with Christ, sometimes a branch will come out and you'll think, oh man, I didn't know I had that in me, right? And God wants to purge that. But we have to be willing and allow him to do that. Instead, we hold, no, not that branch, Lord. I've got to hold on to that, not that one there. So I said the difference between the fruit tree and plant and us is that we can fight back while the Lord is trying to purge us. But you know, folks, God is wanting to take away the branches that bear no fruit in our lives so that we will begin to bear fruit for him. So as we abide in Christ, branches begin to get exposed that he wants to take and purge away, but we have to allow him to do that. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We must understand, though, although it can seem difficult and trying, it's his mercy and his truth that wants to purge us in our lives. Amen. Just like he said in John chapter number 15 and verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know what purging is, folks? Purging is preservation. God is trying to preserve us because he has something that he wants to do in our lives. David understood this. Let's turn to Psalm chapter number 61, verse number 6 and 7. Psalm chapter 61, verse 6 and 7. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Which may preserve him. Again, folks, God doesn't purge us to drive us away, but he purges us to draw us closer to him. So when we abide in Christ, of course, first, we're going to be in a constant state of growth. Secondly, fruit bearing will come naturally, right? Many of us could look at our lives today and we could ask ourselves, are we bearing fruit? You know? And a lot of us might say, no, you know, I'm not really bearing fruit. You know, fruit bearing isn't only winning souls, right? That's part of fruit bearing, but that's not the only thing that fruit bearing is. But it is a major part of our fruit bearing, but fruit bearing also produces righteousness. It produces righteousness in our lives. David understood this in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm sure many of us can just quote that by memory. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Right? That's the abiding. And then the Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? That brings forth his fruit in his season. You know, I don't go out in the wintertime and look for figs on my fig tree because I know it's not time for the figs to grow. But if we continue to keep the conditions right, when the time comes, you're going to naturally bear fruit. Amen. You won't have to try so hard, right? It's the same in the life of a Christian. When the conditions are right and we stay spiritually healthy by abiding in him, God will naturally bear fruit in your life as he's cleansing and purging and doing what it takes to make you very fruitful. John said in John chapter 15, Jesus said in John 15, 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing, right? In 2 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You know, I remember when I was waiting on God. I knew God had called me to the country that we went to. And when God called me, I wasn't ready to go right away, right? Had a lot of things to get in order and to do and straighten out and so forth. And so it took a little while. And I was still working in the hospital. I was a medical laboratory technologist. And I was working midnights. And boy, why do I have to work midnights? I want to work days. You know, midnights isn't an easy shift to work, and especially when you have a family. But I look back now and I see what the Lord was doing. I worked in a little small town hospital. And so there were a lot of nights where I didn't have a lot to do. And I would get in work. The first thing I would do is I would get everything done that I could get done so that there was nothing else left to do but read my Bible and pray, right, and seek the Lord. And so I had one of those slow nights one night, and I was praying, and I had witnessed to most of the people that I work with in the hospital. I'd go up on the second floor and go to the nurse's station, and I'd share a little bit, go to the ER. You know, I lived in Missouri, so a lot of them were Christians, you know, so it was good, but I got to share my testimony and witness to a lot of them. And so I remember on this particular night, it was very slow. I got all my work done, and I got on my knees, and I was praying in the laboratory, in the back of the laboratory, and I said, Lord, it's been a while since I've had the, you know, opportunity to witness to somebody and really share the gospel. I said, Lord, would you either lead me to someone or allow someone to come to the lab? That person you bring, I'll be able to witness to. And so I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And I got up. And I was in the back of the lab, and we have the front room, and an alarm went off. When someone walks in, an alarm went right off within 30 minutes, you know, or I'm sorry, 30 seconds. And so I was a little bit excited, and I went out there, and there was a guy, a motorcycle gang guy, you know, with his Harley Davidson jacket and his long beard and his earrings and his bandana and all that. And I looked at him and I was like, oh man, you know. And I knew what was going on. So he had gotten hurt at work. And what he had to do is when he got hurt at work, he had to come to the laboratory, do some drug testing to make sure that he wasn't doing any drugs when he got hurt. And so he came in and he sat down and I took his paperwork and I'm doing his paperwork and the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. Well, there he is. What? What, Lord? There he is. And I thought, oh, man. You know, so I asked him. I said, hey, I need to draw some blood from you as well. Can you take off your coat? So he took off his jacket, and when he did, I noticed he had Chinese letters written on both arms. Well, God gave an opportunity there. And I said, hey, that's Chinese. He said, yeah, how do you know that? I said, well, God's called... Sorry, brother. I forgot. Don't cut it. Don't worry about it. We'll just trust the Lord in this. God's called me to that country. And he said, oh, you preach the gospel? I said, yes. I said, are you saved? And he looked down and he said, no. He couldn't use the restroom. He also had to give a specimen, and he couldn't use the restroom. And so for 2 hours, I got to share the gospel with him. For 2 hours. And when he got ready to leave, he said this. He said, hey, listen, where's your church? I'll be there Sunday. You know, he wasn't ready. So he left, and I thought, yeah, I'm sure he will. You know, that's what I thought. Sunday morning, he came. And he went forward, and the pastor said, all right, what are you here for? He said, I'm here to get saved. And that fella got saved. And God changed that fella's life. You know what God reminded me of? If you'll abide in me, fruit bearing will come naturally. Right? That's what we have to do. And of course, we have to look for opportunities. I still have to go and check my trees and make sure the fruit is ripe. And when it's ripe, to pick it off. That's our responsibility, right? That's what God wants to do with us as well. Thirdly, God will give us answers to our prayers. And that is an answer that I just shared with you. I think the reason so many Christians find it difficult to get their prayers answered is because we're not abiding in Christ. And because we are not abiding in Christ, we don't really desire his will. Right? As you abide in Christ, you begin to desire his will. Right? It's amazing when you first got married, right? You know, everything was just going to be great. And, you know, there was just whatever she wants. And then you realize, you know, whatever she wants isn't always whatever I want, you know? But as you guys grow in your love towards each other, you start doing things because you love that other person, right? And then God will even sometimes help you to enjoy some of the things each other enjoys. Now, I've never gotten past shopping. I just, you know, that one, that's that ugly branch that, just kidding, right? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. The more you abide in Christ, it's amazing, the more you desire what he desires. And when you start asking God for the things that he desires, that's the kind of prayer that he wants to hear and that he wants to, oh, Lord, I want to win these people. I want to do this. I want you to use me in a great way. Those kind of prayers is what the Lord wants, because now your heart desires what he wants. And God will give you the opportunity. You will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. And fourthly, when we abide in Christ, his joy will remain in us, and our joy will be full. His joy will remain in us, and our joy will be full. Our joy will be full, honestly. When you start getting your prayers answered, and God starts using you, and you're bearing fruit in all kinds of different ways, you know, if you've been in that point in your life, in your relationship with him, that's some of the greatest joy that you can have. You've prayed for somebody for a long time. You've witnessed to somebody for a long time. You've been patient. You've been there. And all of a sudden, they come to Christ. Isn't that a tremendous blessing and a joy? I mean, nothing makes you have more joy and happiness than this. Christ said his joy will remain in us, and our joy might be full. Our joy might be full. Now, if you'll notice that this is the only time that the word remain is used. His joy might remain in you, right? Because abiding is different than remaining, but it will, you know, his joy will remain, but his joy can also leave when we're not properly abiding in Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, the Bible says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He saw the joy that was going to come before him. He saw it, but he knew he had to put down his life so that we could have salvation through him. He came to do the Father's will by redeeming mankind. He fulfilled the penalty of sin for man in his own body on the cross. He rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God. He provided us with a way and this world with a way to have eternal life. He left us his power for us to continue on in doing his work. He's promised to be with us always, even until the end of the earth. And here's the wonderful thing. He's coming back for his redeemed. Yes. Yeah. Looking forward to it. You know, I tell folks this all the time. When I got saved, I didn't know anybody in heaven. I didn't have any saved people that I knew in my family that was in heaven. And you'd hear people say this all the time. They'd say when someone passed away that they loved, that heaven's getting sweeter all the time. And you know, I know that, right? But for me, it didn't seem to be that way because I didn't know anybody in heaven, right? And, you know, but say 41 years. And lost my mom earlier this year. You know, my dad, years ago, got to lead him to the Lord. Grandmothers and that got saved before they died. God has been so good to our family. You know, we weren't at all Christian. And I've seen some good friends pass away. And I now I understand that statement. Heaven is getting sweeter all the time, all the time. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10 says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's our strength. His joy, the joy of the Lord. In Psalm 16, 11, the Bible says this, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. At his coming. I remember the pastor, my missionary pastor, was telling a story of a man in church that he felt was a very faithful man. And, you know, the fellow was always at church and, you know, every time the doors were open. And this man was in the hospital and he was very sick and he was dying. So he said, I was just a young Christian, you know, still learning in our Bible Institute there at the church. And so our pastor took me to go visit this man. And he said, when we walked into his room, he said he was weeping. He said it was kind of a sad weeping. And so he said, I just, young man, just said, brother, he said, why are you weeping? You know, you're getting ready to meet the Lord, and he said, you are saved. And the man said, yes, I am saved. He said, I'm not afraid to die. He said, I'm ashamed to die. He said, brother, my Christian walk, he said, you know I've been faithful to church and so forth. He said, but I can honestly say that my relationship with the Lord wasn't always what it should be or appeared to be. And he said, you know, I know that there were a lot of things that God wanted for me out of my life that I never surrendered over to him, that I've ever surrendered over to him. And so I want to ask you guys a few questions here. Now, I know this is a missions conference, and some of you may not have filled out your missions card yet. And so, all week long, I know Pastor's been asking, and probably all leading up to the missions conference, that we pray. But I think what we have to understand is our love is going to be directly related to what we want to do for the Lord. And we are thankful, you know, as missionaries, we are all thankful for this church and churches like yours that are faithful to raise up the funds to help to send us to the field. But I do want to say this here too. You have to be faithful here as well to where God has called you to do. Amen. You know, you partner with us because you're not called to the nations that we're called to, right? And so we take the gospel on your behalf and another church's behalf to the foreign field so that we could preach the gospel, right? But also, we're in partnership with you. Okay, not just to receive the funds, right? We need to pray for our churches as well, because we can't be here in this county and in this city and in this state to be able to witness and to preach and so forth. You know, when I was traveling around in deputations 25 years ago, every once in a while you'd run into somebody in church that would say, brother, what are you doing going over there? We need more preachers here in America, right? And we do. We do need more preachers here in America. But why do we have to feel guilty? I mean, we have millions of Christians in America. Imagine if half of the Christians were faithful to pray and to witness and to share the gospel. I mean, America would be in, you know, and we don't have to come off the field to help out in our own country. And so it's my desire, too, wherever I go, to not only encourage churches to look at the foreign fields, but you don't have to go overseas. There's really no distinction when you look at the book of Acts in foreign missions. It's not always the foreign field. Your neighbor, right? You know, all these Yankees moving in here now. You know, I can understand, right? I can understand. But, you know, sometimes God's bringing the mission field to you. And so there's a lot of folks in our own country. I bet you a lot of folks here in this area that have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And so we need to be witnesses here, folks. It sure would be nice to know that in our churches at home we're on fire as we're overseas doing what God has called us to do. And so that word abide is important. I'd say as we go to the Lord here in just a minute in prayer, that we look in our own heart and we ask ourselves, am I truly abiding in Christ? For if we truly abide in Christ, in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, the Bible says this, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Let's look at how Christ walked. Christ was in constant communion with God. He was constantly concerned for the saints. And he had constant compassion for the lost. Maybe you'd say, Brother Dime, I'm really not abiding in Christ the way that I need to or the way that I used to and the way that I should. You know, it's wonderful. He's always ready to forgive and restore. Right? That happened in my life. You just have to say, God, use me again. Use me again, Lord, to be a witness, to be a testimony, to be an encouragement. And Lord, give me opportunities. Show me, Lord. Point it out to me, and he'll make it as plain as day. You may not have to witness to a motorcycle gang guy, you know, but God will give you all the opportunities that you ask for if you're sincerely seeking him. Now, I spoke mostly to the Christians today, but maybe you're here today. I don't know each person's heart. I don't know your relationship with the Lord. But until Christ becomes your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot abide in him. All those who are here today, that are here today and are Christians, at one time we were also like you. You know, I shared my testimony. And then once the Lord convicted me, showed me that I needed salvation, I put my faith and trust in him, and I had that opportunity to abide in him. So I want to encourage you, if you're not here today, don't leave church that way. Let Brother Mark or somebody here know, say, hey, listen, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven when I die, but would someone just take that opportunity to show me? And I always would tell the folks, I'd say, look, you know, of course, I would love to see you get saved. God wants you to be saved more than I do. And I'm not here to twist your arm or push you, but at least give us the opportunity to show you what it means to be saved and how to be saved. And of course, you are the one that has to make that decision. So what I would encourage you here today, and again, to the saved, I would say, just looking at your own heart and your own life, could you honestly say, I am abiding in Christ the way I should? Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity you've given to all of us here, Lord, to the three missionaries that are here today to be a part of this wonderful conference. Lord, we just thank you for the hospitality and the love that's been shown towards us. And Father in heaven, I do thank you for this church. And I do pray, Lord, that that this year, Lord, as I said in the last time I preached, not only would we decide on an amount to give towards world missions, Lord, but that you would burden our hearts for individuals, Lord, in our own community, in our own family, that we would pray for, that we would encourage, that we would share the gospel with. Lord, I pray for fruit here this year in this church as well. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart accordingly, and we will be sure to thank and praise you for what you do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.